That was playfully ominous. I loved it. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow until the harvest. Please be seated. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus tell the parable of the sower. As a refresher, a farmer scattered seed across different kinds of ground. Some fell along the path, some along rocks, others along thorns, and some on good soil. And we heard that the condition of the soil matters. Soil can either support or hinder the life of the seed. The parable was a reminder that faith doesn't simply happen by accident. We cultivate it. We tend to the soil of our hearts and relationships and the soil in our communities. We ask ourselves what nourishes life in us and what makes it harder for God's word to take root and mature. Keeping in mind last week's parable is important because this morning Jesus continues teaching through this agricultural image. But this time, Jesus shifts our attention a little bit. Last week, the question was, what kind of soil receives God's word? This week, we might say the question has become, what do we do when even good soil has weeds? Jesus says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who planted good seed in a field. But while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat. And when the wheat begins to grow, so do the weeds. And when the servants discover what happened, they ask a question we might expect. Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did this come from? And then they ask an obvious follow-up question. Do you want us to go get rid of them? Now, I am not a gardener by any means. Do not be fooled. But this seems like a reasonable question to me. Because I do feel like I remember always hearing that we are supposed to remove the weeds. Weeds compete with those things that we have intentionally planted in our gardens. Aren't weeds precisely the problem? But the landowner says no. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow until the harvest. To me, at first, this sounded like an odd plan. But then I learned that Jesus is not describing a careless farmer, nor is he describing your typical kind of weed. The weed that Jesus most likely refers to in this parable is a plant called darnel. Sometimes it's called poisonous darnel or false wheat. In its early stages, darnel looks almost identical to wheat. The two plants are so similar that it can be nearly impossible to tell them apart until the grain begins to mature. And if that wasn't bad enough, there is another complication. The roots of darnel become so intertwined with the roots of the wheat, they would easily uproot those things planted nearby. So trying to remove the weeds too early would not simply remove what we believe is harmful. It would disturb the entire root system, potentially risking uprooting the wheat. Waiting until harvest was not just about being able to tell the difference between the plants. It was also about protecting those that are still growing. The landowner is not as careless as I might have thought they were. They're being patient. Waiting is not indifference. Waiting here is wisdom. Because where the servants see weeds to be removed, the landowner sees wheat that is still becoming. Now, if you were at all initially puzzled by this parable like I was before diving into agricultural research, you're in good company. Because the disciples were also just as puzzled, which is why they asked Jesus to explain it. And remarkably, Jesus pulls them aside to tell them exactly what he means, which is very rare if you did not know. So Jesus tells them, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. Or we might say the weeds are all that oppose God's purposes for the world. And there will indeed come a day when God brings justice, removes evil, and makes all things right. Now, there is certainly much we could say about judgment or the day of judgment. It's not always a comfortable topic for most, at least not in the Episcopal Church. Many people hear it and immediately squirm a bit in their chair, usually because it can so often be used as a weapon for fear rather than an invitation toward healing. If you find yourself in that place, hopefully this is helpful. I don't actually think the primary question Jesus wants us to walk away with today is, on the day of judgment, will I be a weed or will I be wheat? Though that is not a bad question to ask ourselves from time to time, honest self-examination is part of faithful discipleship. Instead, I think the heart of this parable lies a little somewhere else. Notice where the disciples' attention goes when they hear the parable. Like the servants, they're focused on the weeds, while Jesus is focused on the harvest. The disciples zero in on the problem, while Jesus is looking at the promise. The field has not changed. The weeds have not disappeared. The circumstances have not suddenly become easier. So perhaps this part of what Jesus wants his disciples to understand is this. Do not mistake the presence of weeds for the absence of God. Jesus definitely already knows that there are weeds in the world. Their presence is no surprise to him. What concerns him most is protecting the wheat until it reaches maturity. We also know the weeds are very real, but so is the danger of uprooting what God is still growing because we mistake it for something else. And perhaps this is another part of Jesus' teaching in this parable. The danger isn't only the weeds themselves. It's also a kind of confidence that tells us that we can always identify the weed. Because what looks like wheat and what looks like a weed isn't always so obvious. And history gives us plenty of painful examples of people who felt certain that they were protecting God's field while uprooting people God was still growing. Sometimes we are so eager to create a cleaner field that we forget that the field itself belongs to God. Sometimes our desire for certainty becomes stronger than our willingness to trust. Sometimes we want to remove everything that seems wrong or different or unfamiliar, without ever considering what roots we may also be disturbing. And this doesn't mean that injustice doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that evil is imaginary. Jesus never tells his disciples to ignore these things. There are real weeds in the world. Hatred and violence, oppression, cruelty, systems that diminish the dignity of God's children. And even so, Jesus invites his disciples and us into a different way of seeing. A way that remembers the final work of judgment belongs to God and not to us. Because the God who planted the field is not careless about the weeds, but neither is God willing to sacrifice the growing wheat simply because we have become impatient for a cleaner field. Jesus refuses to let the weeds become the defining feature of the field itself. And maybe that is one of the hardest lessons for many of us. We often assume that if weeds are present, something has gone terribly wrong. But Jesus suggests otherwise. A healthy field can still contain weeds. It is simply proof that we are living in the space between planting and harvest. It is proof that God is still at work, even now. Because sometimes we assume that if God's kingdom is real, if it's truly coming, then the field should become clearer and clearer over time. All conflict should disappear and life should become easy. But Jesus promises something a little different. He promises that wheat can grow even in the presence of weeds. Faith can deepen in the most difficult of circumstances. Hope can flourish even when the world gives us reasons to despair. And love can continue bearing fruit in places where hatred exists. And this is why I think this parable follows the parable of the sower. Last week, Jesus told us what our work is. Tend the soil. We cultivate hearts capable of receiving God's word. We nurture our faith through prayer and worship, generosity, forgiveness, and acts of mercy and reconciliation. And this week, Jesus tells us what is not our work. It is not our job to carry out the final judgment of the world. It is not our job to separate forever who belongs and who does not. And it's not our job to uproot everything we believe to be a weed without first considering the roots we might also be disturbing. Because if we are honest with ourselves, even our own lives are more intertwined than we often realize. One family holds both wounds and healing. Communities hold both brokenness and grace. Churches hold failure and deep faithfulness. Even in our own hearts, there are places where God is still growing in us. That work, that grace, belongs to God. And there is so much freedom for us in remembering the difference. Because when we confuse God's work with ours, we spend so much energy trying to control the field that we forget to nourish the wheat. And so Jesus redirects our attention. Our task is not to obsess over every single weed. Our task is to keep growing, tending our soil, bearing fruit, to keep trusting that God has not forgotten the harvest. Tomorrow, you will encounter the weeds of this world. Honestly, maybe you've already encountered some weeds of the world before you came here today, right? Another news alert that leaves you discouraged, a challenging and difficult conversation, your own fear or anxiety telling you that nothing will or can change in the world. Jesus doesn't tell us to pretend that these things aren't there. He tells us not to let them become the measure of our reality, because our confidence is not in the absence of weeds. Our confidence is in the faithfulness of the one who planted the field in the first place, the one who knows every stalk of wheat by name and who promises that one day everything that opposes love, justice, and mercy, and life will finally give way to God's kingdom in the world. And until that day, we know our work. Tend. Grow where you are planted. Bear fruit. Trust in the gardener. Because even though the field may not yet look finished, that's because the gardener isn't finished with it just yet. The weeds may still be visible. But remember, so is the wheat. And the one who planted the field has not abandoned their harvest. Amen.